You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to make us different. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in 1999, there was a movie. It starred Jake Gyllenhaal called October Sky. And October Sky was this movie about this kid who grew up in this coal mining town in Kentucky. And everything about the kid's life was sort of like pre-written for him. Everything about the kid's life was supposed to be that he would grow up and he would work in the coal mines just as his father worked in the coal mines. And all of that was the direction that his life was supposed to take. All of that was the trajectory that his life was supposed to take. And yet, this kid named Homer, he had this love of rockets. And he got really into these toy rockets that he could light off and he could see how far up in the air they would go. And he got really into the science behind it. And he got other people involved in this project. And all of a sudden, things started to shape up in his life where it looked like he was going to leave that trajectory. He was going to leave the trajectory of where he was supposed to just go down into the coal mines. But instead, he was going to go in the opposite direction. He was going to look up into the skies. And as the movie kind of plays out, you feel the tension there. You feel the tension because Homer is different. Homer sees a different life for himself as he grows up. Homer can see something that maybe nobody else in the town can see. And because he can see something that nobody else in the town can see, he actually starts to spread that around. And he starts to gather some people together with him. And they all get into rockets together. They all become the rocket boys. There's about four of them that really get into this hobby of shooting off these rockets and learning about them. In fact, October Sky ends up being an anagram for Rocket Boys, and the producers of the movie, just kind of a weird little trivia tidbit, said that October Sky was probably a better title, but they still felt good about it because they had this kind of Rocket Boys was hidden in the title, because that's what this was all about. That this was all about kids that became different. And as the movie ends, there's these final triumphant scenes, as you'll have in any movie, and then you find out that it's actually a semi-true story, that most of it is true. The few things, just like in probably every movie, have been a little bit adjusted, and yet these kids, they end up all going into these scientific fields. In fact, Homer ends up working for NASA, all because he was different. All because his eyes were not focused into the coal mine, but outside of the coal mine, into the October sky. Well, as you start to think about that, you start to think about what it was like for the people that were gathered around Jesus here in Matthew 5. As they were gathered around Jesus in the sermon that is called the Sermon on the Mount. And what Jesus is doing in the sermon is he climbs up a certain degree on this hill, and he begins to teach to them, partially because that was a little bit easier for people to hear him. He had a little bit of space above the crowd so that his voice could go out over everybody. He had this space where everybody was kind of looking up to him. And as they were looking up to him, their perspectives changed. Their perspectives changed in that they saw a different view of what life could be like. This view that starts off with Jesus telling them about the Beatitudes. That even though they are poor in spirit, even though they are mourning, even though they are persecuted, there's something different that's waiting for them. And here now, in our reading for today, he goes a little bit deeper into that. He goes a little bit deeper into that. And he says this semi-amazing thing that we don't really catch, I think most of the time anyway. He tells them, "You are salt." And then in a few beats later, he says, "You are light." Now, the interesting thing there is he doesn't say, "Hey, y'all can become salt." He doesn't say, "Well, if you try really hard, you'll shine and you'll be like light." But instead, Jesus is using what they call forensic language. That what he says happens. He says that you are light. He says that you are salt. In the same way that a judge, if a judge says you are guilty, you are guilty. In the same way that if a judge says that you are acquitted and not guilty, you are not guilty. Jesus is speaking this reality over them. And that's challenging. Because it means that we're different. If we're hearing his words and we're receiving those things just as the people who were at the mountain received them. You know, if Jesus tells me that I'm light, if Jesus tells me that I am salt, well, then I have a choice, I guess. I have an invitation, if you will. I have a choice to believe that I am actually salt and light. Or I have a choice to reject that. And if I reject it, well, what does that mean? Well, it means maybe that I'm this weird thing that is salt without taste that we can't really imagine. But if I don't reject it, well, what does that mean for me? What does that mean I'm supposed to do with my life? How am I supposed to be light and salt? Jesus has told me those things are true about me. But what does that look like when I actually start to live it out? And that becomes a question that gets to be something that makes us wonder, okay, like, well, what are we supposed to do? And so you look at this verse from Isaiah, and I added in the little things in brackets there so that you could probably understand a little bit more of what's going on here. And so the people of Israel asked, well, we fasted and you haven't seen it. We've humbled ourselves and you haven't taken knowledge of it. And then Isaiah says, well, that's because all of your fasting, all of your kind of religious stuff, it's been sort of missing the mark. It's been unsalty salt. It's been dark light. And so let me help you out with this. This is what God is looking for. And as we look into this, we start to get more and more afraid, right? You start off in that third paragraph there. Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. You hear that and you're like, yeah, Jesus, we're down. Yeah, there's something heroic about this, but there's also something so vague that we can be like, yeah, that's me. But then it gets less vague. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house? What? When you see the naked, to cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, your own kin, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And we go, is that what this means? To be salt and light? Because if so, I mean, our guest room is not ready. And so we start to ask these questions of, am I disqualified? Am I actually unsalty salt? Am I actually dark light? And that's where we have to come back to Jesus telling us who we are. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, Jesus hasn't come to abolish the law and the prophets. He hasn't come in order to say that Isaiah is all wet and you shouldn't listen to him anymore. Jesus hasn't come to say, all of the stuff that you read in the psalm, all of that stuff doesn't apply to me either. Jesus has come to say, this is who you are. But who you are is on a trajectory. You're like Homer, not the Greek poet, but Homer from the story in October Sky. You're in this moment where you recognize that there's a difference. That there's something different about you. There's something that you actually believe it when Jesus says that you're salt and you're light. You actually believe it when you hear those words of baptism and they remind you of your own baptism. When we begin this and I say in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that reminds you that you have been baptized, that you are a part of this thing, that you are salt and light. When I say that you are forgiven in that same triune name, in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you actually believe that's your sins going away, that's Jesus restoring your saltiness, restoring your lightness, taking away the blandness, taking away the darkness. You actually believe that when you come up here for Holy Communion and you take his body and blood into your mouth, that is imbuing you with the trueness of who Jesus is. That all of that stuff is making you different, and that by making you different, what you need to do is you need to look for that different trajectory that those things are creating in you. That your baptism is very real. That when I say that you are forgiven of your sins, that is very real. When you come up here and you take Jesus' body and blood into your mouth, that is very real. And then when you walk out of this place and you go to class or you go to your job, or you hang out with your family, or you talk to your friends, that it is just as real that Jesus has said that you are salt and light. So as you walk out into this week, remember these things. Remember these things when, you go to lunch today after church. If you go to lunch today after church and you're talking with the waitress, remember that you are as salty as those tortilla chips are. Remember that you are light.
that is not meant to be hidden. Not because you've done works that make you that, but because Jesus has made you that so that you can do those works. So that you can grow in your saltiness. So that you can grow in your lightness. Because that's who Jesus has redeemed you to be. So go forth. Be salt. Be light. And know that you are those things because of a Savior who died on the cross to make sure that you are those things. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.